You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. The Beatles. I watched the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. Yeah, that's a little bit before Mike's time, but joining me as he does is the one and only Gunner himself, Michael Musselman. What's going on, man?
I watched Situation. I watched Beatles on Ed Sullivan.
You did?
Yeah.
No, you.
I'll watch it again. Watch. Well, YouTube. Look and watch. I can watch Neil Armstrong walking on the moon. What else do you want me to?
What year were you born?
1977.
No, you weren't. You're not that young.
I'm super young.
You are not. You just turned 50, so you were born in 1967.
50? I only wish I was that old.
The, 67, so you you're a YouTube guy.
Again, constantly. Oh, yeah, I'm a YouTube guy.
You're a YouTube guy relative to the Beatles and Ed Sullivan. Yeah, I got to stay up, man, and watch that.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, remember, they never said start off a story with a lie.
Exactly. Well, who said that? Who said that? And what did they really mean?
But you got to start off with, hey, check this out.
Yeah.
Or this is a no shitter.
Yeah. And because when you do that, they know it's going to be a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why not? All right. Let's talk about something we've never talked about today.
Before we do, there was something that caught my attention. As you can see, it was super important.
Yeah, and you've forgotten about it now.
That's
the way it goes.
Damn it. Okay. Anyway, yeah. What do you want to talk about that we've never talked about?
I don't know.
I'm
asking you. What do you want to talk about that we've never, ever, ever discussed before in our lives? That's a hard thing.
No, that's easy.
What?
Botanical gardens. Like, what is your favorite flower?
The daisy. I like the daisy. It's bright.
That's pretty simple, though. You don't like the exotic stuff?
No.
Like the orchids?
I don't know if I like orchids. Let me see a picture of an orchid, because I can't remember.
An orchid is my favorite.
I can't remember their names.
Steve? Tom, Dick, Harry. What do you mean? Whose names?
Well, I'll see a plant and they'll say, "Do you like that?" And I'll say, "What is it?"
No, yeah, I'm the same way. Was that celery? No, you dumbass.
I like
an onion.
I like
Mike. Just shut up.
I like orchids. I like orchids because you can buy them. Well, like all flowers, I used to hate flowers because all they do is die. You know, if I give you something,
get ones that are encased in like epoxy. You can look at it forever.
True. And you can get those because the Asians make these orchids that they put in glass and things like that. They last forever.
You got to pull out the oxygen out. Because if there's just an itty teeny little molecule of oxygen, it'll decompose. So that you got to put something else in there, an inert gas.
Is that how that works? So do you buy flowers often? Do you like having flowers in the house? They always smell good. Orchids in particular
are
fragrant. You have big. Oh, you use your own?
Yeah, I usually do my own when I put them up there. But every once in a while, like today, I'm kind of feeling like maybe I'm going to get some flowers for somebody.
Whoa. And you're not in trouble?
No, I'm not going to get them for her. I'm just going to pick a stranger and get her off the street and give her flowers. What are you talking about? She would think that something was up. She doesn't appreciate it. I give her flowers, and the first thing out of her mouth is, "What do you want? What'd you do?"
Yeah. Like, well, that's your fault, though. That's not her fault.
I can't do that anymore.
That's not
No, that's not my fault. Don't put this on me.
It is on you because you didn't do it often enough. So,
I do it. Okay. So the reason I don't do it is because I, again, if you do too much, you desensitize them.
Yeah, then
it's like, yeah. So you got to do it. Remember we talked about this. We had like Mike Gunner's like February 14th because the Valentine's Day thing. We talked about like tips, what to do. Every day is Valentine's Day.
Let me see how much of a flower guy you are. What is the most common bought, the most off-purchased flower?
The rose.
Correct. All right. What's number two?
It would probably be a carnation.
Chrysanthemums.
Same class. They look the same. I mean, you could tell a chrysanthemum.
Shut up. I don't want to hear it. I don't even know what a chrysanthemum looks like.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. If I brought a dandelion over you and told you it was a chrysanthemum, you'd believe me.
I would. It looks like the snowball that you, the Hostess White snowball. That's what a chrysanthemum looks like. Who would buy that? I don't. Whoa.
Well, they're big, like they're Japanese type or Asian type.
Shut up. You don't know what a chrysanthemum is. Followed by tulips, lilies,
yeah.
Poinsettias. Yeah, Libby is Luke's mom. Poinsettias and narcissus. Narcissus is a flower?
A what?
The narcissus is a flower?
I like that. It's almost like a narcissist.
It is. It is almost like that. Did not know that.
Does it look really pretty? Is that why they call it a narcissist?
Well, you would think it would be a beautiful flower if it was. Yeah, tulips. Like, I don't understand tulips. Like,
what's the largest flower in the world?
The largest flower in the world is the sunflower.
No.
What is it?
The Puya ramamori.
That was my second guess.
Which has a flower stalk 35,000 feet tall and bears over 8,000 white flowers. How can that
Shut be? Up.
I'm All reading right. this.
See, that's – and you wonder why everybody hates you. Except
I bet you it's like underground. Like, that's still a lot. Wait, how does that
– Chrysanthemum.
Okay. I got it. Look, P-U-Y-A.
How about poinsettias? Come on. Poinsettias?
Oh, those are overrated.
Those are garbage.
Yeah, that's a shit. You bought me, like, you bought me at Costco.
Yeah, you bought me that?
Yeah.
Why don't you just bring me nothing like you usually do? The narcissus. It's kind of a daisy kind of looking thing. Yellow in the center. It's got petals.
Okay. Puya.
Yeah, it's not. Also known as
Queen of
the
Andes.
Queen of the what?
The Andes.
Andes.
Reaching up to 15 meters in height. Oh, it's a big cactus. And then it blooms. Cool looking, though.
What's the flower of the Marine Corps?
I didn't know we had a flower.
Do we?
That's pretty... Well, do we? What's the official flower of the United States?
Let's see. Now, the official flower of the United States would be, I don't know, the rose? That would be England, though. Roses are from England.
Yeah, the rose would probably be England. It's the United States, too. Rose.
Is it?
The national flower is the rose.
U.S. Marines on Twitter. Marine Fact Friday. The official flower of the military child is the dandelion. A weed?
What?
That ain't right.
No.
It represents military children because it puts down roots anywhere and is almost impossible to destroy.
Oh, I like that then.
Who thought that shit up?
Not a guy. That's
not a guy. You're right. Well, I don't know. It sounds like a bunch of bullshit. So, could have been a Marine gunner. Could have been.
Well,
a Marine
it does.
Gunner.
I mean, I that sounds.
There's a fair bit of
already out there. Otherwise, I would have claimed that. That was actually pretty good.
Singing and dancing. So I would say certainly.
I don't see a flower. The flower of war. The poppy.
What? Oh, the poppy. Yeah, the Canadians are big on the poppy.
That's the flower of remembrance.
Well, is that why they wore it? Because it was a flower of war and they used it to remember? Because around November 11th, You see the Canadians all throwing their poppies. If you watch hockey, you see poppy adorning lapels all over the place on NHL benches and things like that. Canadians very big on that. So
yeah.
Their Remembrance Day, I think they call it, if I'm not mistaken. Flowers. No, you know what? I do. I'm with you. I like orchids. You can buy them. You know, if you buy a good bunch. What's that?
Stain you.
What?
Yeah, you got to pull off these like little. So if the flowers that have like this, those stems that come like whiskers coming out. Listen to a bunch of guys describing flowers.
Whiskers.
It looks like whiskers, and at the end there's like this little.
But,
thing,
yeah,
little thing that moves back and forth.
Tentacle.
That's the pollen sitting on there, right?
Is that what it is?
Pluck those off, yeah, because they if they get under your clothes, they'll stain.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, pollen. You can't get pollen out.
Pollen you cannot get out of clothes.
Oh yeah, and it's again, if we were women, we'd pick out. We'd like, oh yeah, this is that flower. Pollen. You got to pull those things off.
Steps to remove pollen. Fill the spray bottle with a quarter inch full of warm water. Add a good squirt or two of dishwashing liquid. Shake well until suds begin to form inside the bottle. Remove the cushions from the chairs if possible. Rinse loose pollen debris off with a garden hose. That's how you get pollen off outdoor chaise-on chairs.
That's like pollen blowing in the wind. Yeah. Open lilies. That's what it is. Lilies. Jeez, don't get lilies. Oh, yeah. How to remove pollen from removing pollen from open lilies. They give you a YouTube video on it.
There's a YouTube video on everything.
I know.
On everything.
So if you look at the lilies, yeah, the guy's got a little thing in a jigger, and he's pulling them right off. It's so stupid. He's like, dude, you put a video out like this? Freddie shows how to remove pollen from lilies.
How many views does it have?
1,184. It's got one thumbs down. Now it's got two. yeah. And this guy's got 254 subscribers to his channel. Freddie's Flowers.
Email.
What
was it, since you're taking questions, what was the biggest explosion either one of you has ever seen? Mike, biggest explosion you've ever seen?
A nuclear bomb test off of the French Polynesian Island.
Bikini Island.
Yeah.
Biggest explosion I ever saw was the USS Missouri shooting at 16-inch guns. James Webb flew out to the USS Ranger. We were on what was known at the time as Gonzo Station in the North Arabian Sea because we didn't go inside the Persian Gulf.
No, Mac, you're lying.
No. And
yeah,
he came.
I know.
Why?
Because you and I both saw. I was joking. I mean, I was thinking that is, you know, you can go on YouTube and watch that one. But the one that we were actually present for, you were watching in the COC, is when we blew the, like, 23,000 pounds of confiscated explosives out there to the west, the east side of Camp Dwyer.
Scattered.
Like a nuclear explosion.
Scattered it everywhere.
Yeah. That was the EOD guys. We spent a day putting that stuff in the ground, and it was like a nuclear explosion.
Is that the biggest one you've ever seen?
Controlled, yeah. Yeah.
Uncontrolled? Yeah, no, I was on the...
I was a 2,000-pound JDAM going off pretty close by us.
Oh. No, Webb was Secretary of the Navy. He flew out, and the Missouri was out there with us for whatever reason, or the Iowa. I can't remember which one. And and so he was on the Ranger. We flew him over to the battleship, and then we got behind it in, like, a column. And so there was no flight ops going on, so they opened up the flight deck, and it was gonna slew nine 16-inch guns to the starboard side and shoot. And so they did it, and we're standing on the flight deck, and I have video of it someplace. And they shoot a 5-inch gun. And they shoot the 5-inch gun, and everybody's like, because nobody had ever seen this, right? It's like World War II shit. Is that all? Is that all there is? And then they let all 9 tubes of the 16-inch go, and it was like a, it was just like this wall of fire, and you were like, holy shit! And that's what it looks like coming out of the tube, man. What's it look like when it hits? And so it's pretty cool, pretty cool. Yeah, wall of flame. And then they had those cool battleship, you know, pictures that they shoot from the fantail of the battleship when they fire all their 16-inch guns, and you just see just flame. It's awesome. Awesome. Yeah, it's a, and those are rifled guns, right, Mike? Those things like, shoot like shoot like darts, right? So anyway, pretty cool.
Well, they're shooting Volkswagen DBW bugs out of their guns. That's how much they weigh. Just under like just a ton.
Yeah, and it's not like there's no altitude associated with the thing. It's on the line.
Yeah, whoever got rid of those things.
Yeah, you know what I heard? Now, I don't know this, but because of the automation of all the gun systems, that life on battleships was awesome because there was so much space. Because they used to have ammunition handlers and all the rest of the stuff. All that stuff got automated. And so living on a battleship was like great living. You could spread out everywhere and had great gyms and because they didn't have nearly the number of people that they had when the ship was designed. So,
and they keep them on standby just in case aliens land in the ocean in the Pacific realm, and then they can like, and the U.S. Navy's trapped out there, then the Missouri will go get her. Like they did in the movie.
Yeah.
It depicts real life.
Yeah. What movie is that, by the way?
I think it was Pacific Rim or something like that, where they had the old World War II battleship guys that were still on the ship, you know, doing tours, and they're like, can this boat go? And they're like, yeah, let's start it. Like, yeah, there's still fuel and bombs still in there. And they just, all they do is just turn it on, turn a switch, and they go. And it breaks free. I think there's a little more, just me guessing.
Stop. Don't ruin it. Don't
flipping and switching a car key slot on the battleship.
Don't ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, I thought that was so funny.
That's the biggest explosion ever. So I'm trying to think if I. You said you saw a Faye explosion out in 29 Palms. That had to be big.
Yeah, that wasn't that big. No, it wasn't
was
that
it?
Big. It wasn't as big as
the 2000 bomb that got dropped a block away from you.
Yeah, that was big because that one, man, that one. You could feel it.
did you know it was coming?
Yeah. I didn't realize it was going to be that close. I thought it was close, going to be a little bit further away.
Because the night Mike was on the Euphrates with the special people, they dropped a 1,000-pound bomb unannounced in proximity.
Oh, yeah. They drop bombs all the time.
Unannounced, yeah. I mean, just like all of a sudden all hell breaks loose because something explodes, right? And you're like, what's going on? You know, it's like.
Oh, that was a bomb.
Yeah. Oh. I know
who's calling in.
Yeah, I know. Hold on. Let me call the special. Anyway, so yeah, it surprised me. Faye was what it was dropped out of a canister drops, and then the canister falls apart, and then it's got these what fabric things that
leave. Fabric.
How does the fuel get dissipated in the air that ultimately explodes? How did they do that?
Oh my god. I don't think there's any in there.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, there's no
fuel air explosive, FAE. I thought I saw that it deploys this, like, all these little things, and then there's an igniter, and then it catches on fire. So the video I'm looking at shows there's a detonation, like a proximity fuse, maybe 100 feet above, off the ground, and these things all deploy, and then something ignites, and ooh. I thought it, So it's essentially a flame. Ooh,
yeah.
That's a good explosion, man. That's a good explosion. So I don't understand really the mechanics of it. What I read was there was some kind of fabrics that were highly combustible packed into this piece of ordnance, and then when it deploys 100 feet off the ground, they get jettisoned into a pattern, an igniter ignites it, and then it goes. So that was my sound effect, my explosive sound effect. Another email. So we've gone from flowers to explosions. I have to tell you, Mac, there's not too many people that could keep up with your ADD-driven third hour, but I have to tell you that I do enjoy it. You guys have quite the breadth of topics on days when you don't have a topic. Who said we don't have a topic today? Topic what? Is Red Sox, Houston, analysis from the Gunner. Okay, give us your analysis, Mike. Pivotal game three tonight. Nathan Eovaldi versus Dallas Keuchel. Is that who's pitching for Houston?
I didn't see who's pitching. I didn't look at it yet. All
right, so we'll get Mike's predictions for tonight. 2:09 Pacific time. Let's see. Who's pitching? Dallas Keuchel. He's got a beard. Versus Nathan Eovaldi. Eovaldi, who destroys. He's a Yankee destroyer. Pfft, nice. He's facing Dallas Keuchel. Give me your prediction.
Well, Boston.
And give me a score.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be 5-3.
5-3, Red Sox. All right, there you have it. Mike Musselman. The I'm just looking at some statistics for the game today. It's surprising, to be honest with you, that the Red Sox and Houston are playing during the day. It surprises me because they are clearly the bigger draw. And I don't, normally you would have the earlier game, the undercard, if you will, Dodgers and the Brewers play at the earlier time because the national audience would be bigger for the Houston Red Sox game. But that's not how baseball's doing it. So I'm a little bit surprised. I'm a little bit surprised. Here's another email. Email flower talk ? Libby. Signed Libby. It was a mistake. It was Lily, and I read Libby, okay? Because of the Libby.
Yeah, we caught it.
Yeah.
Well, Libby, that was Libby saying that?
Libby said that. Yeah. You should be flattered, Libby. You're such a huge part of the show. If you didn't listen to Libby's interview about the experience of a mother watching her son go through what her son's gone through, put that on your list. Libby. Libby. And it's not Wilkie. Wikle. It's Weichel. Wikle. Weichel. Yeah. Screw me up. Yeah. Weichel. Remember that. Yeah. So Libby, don't take it. Don't be a hater, Libby. Knock it off. Good morning, Mac. Hey, do you or the Gunner ever see the show The Man in the High Castle? It's based on a novel. If Japan and Germany won World War II, it is in its third season on Amazon. It's a decent show and makes you think, what if? Mike, do you ever watch that?
No, what? I don't watch movies based on if the loser won.
You watch all kinds of stuff, okay?
So not like that. I don't watch loser, like... Hey, let's see if the loser...
Now you're going to go Great Santini on me. I don't sing Dixie. That's a loser song. I sing the Battle Hymn of the Public.
That's different.
That's different. Now that's different. Okay.
That sounds good.
The Great Santini.
That's just good music.
The I know. I don't watch that. I don't watch TV like that. Yeah.
No, I don't either. I
watch sports, and if I'm not watching sports, I don't watch very much television. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can't. I mean, I watch a little bit of, like, I watch some documentaries. Like, I watch, like the Drain the Ocean series that's going on.
Drain the Ocean. Cool. I'll look for something historical. Like, what did I watch the other night on Netflix? I watched something on Netflix it was about the Panama Canal. It was about the Panama Canal and how it got handed over and what the Panamanians wanted to do with it and what the Americans wanted to do with it. So I watch that. So I'm like Mike a little bit. I watch documentaries that kind of catch my interest. So yeah, if I'm going to watch. But, you know, come on. It's hard-pressed not to be able to find sports on television. So that's what I do. I watch sports. And now I'll listen, and if I'm not – then now I've started listening to audiobooks. Yeah, right. Mike, you should read When Bad Things Happen to Good People. I read it. It's only about 170 pages, but I think you'd enjoy it. I think you'd enjoy it. So that's what I don't. I don't watch episodic TV like people like Friends. Never seen an episode of Simpsons. God. Never seen an episode of it.
I will watch some Simpsons.
I know you're prior enlisted. You're like a monkey.
Some of them. Yeah. The ones that are like.
Yeah, it's like a comic
against
book.
Like, well, the ones that they make poke fun of like real life stuff.
I know.
What I used to like was South Park.
Simple. Yeah. See, there you go. There you have it. He's a prior enlisted simpleton.
Oh.
That's right. Right. Eating meat off a stick. That's what they do. Yes.
That's right. Catfish off a stick.
Exactly. That's what they do. That's why we love them.
You know, let me tell you something.
What?
Dealing with civilians,
yeah.
And if you were listening, I'm not shooting this across your bow. Thank you for what you've done. But
what, civilians?
It's like, you know, you try and explain to them, like, rank or anything like that, because they want, like, oh, we got to put you on this and put your name in there. How does it, you know, you tell them, and then it, completely different. You know,
well,
I mean?
Especially if you're of the Pinepalian tribe. That's
yes.
A hard one to explain.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you you wore a pineapple, but you were a general? Oh, my God. Yes. Okay, let me explain.
Well, no. Now they put United States Marine Corps Reserves retired.
Mm.
Like,
then you're in there with me.
No. I was never in the freaking reserves.
We're in Afghanistan, and I don't know, somebody was a reservist, or was a reserve unit or reserve something that was there, and somebody comes walking in one day and says, God, you know, they look at me and they're like, sir, those fucking reservists. And I said, I'm a reservist? What are you talking about? And he's like, and then they look at Major McConnell, who's a reservist. And he's like, so you know what I mean? And he says, I'm a reservist. What are you talking about? Like, and then they're like, I'm out. Yeah, get out of here. Close the door too, you piece of shit. So you don't want to be lumped in with us cool guys? All right, I got it.
Nope. Good.
So who was recording? Were you going up on a wall of honor or something? What was your stuff being recorded?
No. This is for the Veterans Day dinner that I'm actually the master of ceremonies.
Well. Oh, yeah. You know, I would, if I wasn't up, going to be up in Mankato, I'd come down and, what's that? Are you going to be funny? Or are you just going to be like, all right, our next on the agenda is item 4.7.
I'm not going to be funny.
You're not going to be funny?
It's not about me. It's a, you know, they got the, we have one of the guests of honor is a guy who, his name is, I'll tell you right now, Fisk Hanley, former prisoner of war, WW2.
Whoa, Fisk still alive? Holy shit. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's like in his 90s.
Yeah, you think.
Fisk Hanley.
How did you know what?
And Major Chuck Ziegenfuss. Do you know Ziegenfuss?
What do you mean? Brian Ziegenfuss?
Not Ziegenfuss. Not Ziegenfuss. Chuck Ziegenfuss. Army.
No, I do not. I do not. What
is this? Well, he knows Kerry. Kerry and him know each other real well.
No, Kerry knows everybody.
I know. But he's, like, he runs this Labrador thing, you know, Labrador's for, you know, it's just a dog program like every other dog program.
No, it's not. Explain, explain that they're, what do they call them?
I don't know.
No, I want to say they're comfort animals, but that's not what they call them. What are they? Service dogs.
Service dogs.
Service dogs. So that's what we were looking for, service dogs. So he's going to be there, and he runs that? Well, that's cool. That's cool. And is this is like a Granbury Veterans organization, or what is it?
Yeah, this is the Veterans Dinner they always have every year on Veterans Day.
Veterans Day. And
every year. And every year.
Who sponsors it?
Mostly the Daughters of the American Revolution put it on.
Whoa, that's like heavy stuff. You have to prove.
Yeah, but this is the, you know what's special about this Veterans Day, right?
It is the 100th anniversary of
World
War
One. Yeah, WW1.
11, 18.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, 100 years. Yeah, I mean, it's coming up on World War II. You know, the guy who was a POW that would still be alive. I mean, that would be like his first bombing mission over Germany or something like that, man. Got yoked up when he was 17 or something like that. Lied about his age. He's one of those hairy kids in high school. Yeah, Larry, he's like 14. He's 18. Here you go. And then he, like, gets trained, goes to England, gets shot down his first mission, and he's, like, 16 years old in a German POW camp. I mean,
yeah.
Otherwise he wouldn't be around anymore. Another email. The new Netflix series on Congressional Medal of Honor recipients starts soon. I didn't know that. Well, I'll add that to my list. I'll watch that stuff. Those guys, yeah, that's when you read those things, fair amount of luck and a fair amount of courage involved in all those stories. Pretty amazing. And then what they do afterwards I think is pretty cool, too, because most of them stay involved, and a lot of them stay involved, not all of them. Some of them like to go home and not be bothered, but, yeah, maybe I should watch more television. Right. But I like watching my sports. I don't like being intruded upon by the news or other things like that. I get enough news during the course of doing this. And so I watch TV to escape. I don't like being disturbed. I don't need more reality into my life. I watch TV to escape. It's kind of like going to the movie. I don't want to see people dying unnecessarily and unhappy endings. I want to be happy. I want to be entertained. I don't want to be unhappy. So don't take me to a movie that has a lot of meaning in it. I don't want to watch that.
Yeah.
What's the next movie you're going to go to? You're a movie guy. You, like, plan to go to movies. It takes you a while, though. What's the next movie you're going to go see?
I don't know. I was looking at it. I don't think there's any really good ones out. I don't see anything that really caught my eye, you know?
Hmm. Next question. All right, since you boys are taking questions today, look into your crystal ball. How does Saudi Arabia get out of this? What kind of lie do they tell? I know.
You just admitted, dude. I already told you how to get rid of it.
No.
We whacked them.
This is how I feel that they'll do it. Somebody will take the rap. And this is how you'll know that they didn't do it and they're just taking the rap. Because they won't be beheaded. Okay, when you screw shit up in Saudi Arabia, you get beheaded. Okay? So when you don't get beheaded and you get sent to jail, that means you're going to be out at nights and weekends and things like that. So that's how, in my opinion, that's how they'll do it. They'll uncover a rogue group. They will all confess to it. They'll all get sent to prison. And they'll all be out this coming weekend. But that's how we'll get beyond this. So what do you think? Good? Is that a good course of action?
Yeah. No, my course of action is the best course of action.
What was it?
We killed them. big deal. It's none of your business. God.
They're not going to do
whacked
that.
Them. We don't whack people here. Shit, we do.
Who? Who's the last person our government whacked?
What time is it?
It's...
What do you want to go
nine,
on? 9 hours ago or days ago?
Yeah, any, whatever. The last person our government whacked.
You know why we don't know? Because they're so damn good at it. Now, the Saudis just screwed up, got caught on camera. If you're going to whack somebody,
don't do it in your own country. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah, we stopped doing that.
Thank you. Years ago.
That's the ultimate question. Like, when did you stop beating your wife? Answer just the time. Well, I never, nope. Have you stopped beating your wife? Yes. I mean, you did beat your wife? No. I mean, I never beat my wife. That's not the question. The question is, have you stopped beating your wife? I never started. No, yes or no?
Movie suggestion, Bad Night at Hotel Royale. Great
no,
music.
No, no.
What? No? Have you seen it?
No, I saw the preview.
You saw the trailer? And?
Yeah.
You're going to judge a book by its cover.
I always do. That's the way
I run. You are? All right. So you're voting no. Bad Night at the Hotel Royale. Just so you know, Libby suggested that. So you're getting on Libby's
side. Well, she's a girl.
She doesn't know because she's a girl?
Yeah. So she's probably watching, like, Chris Hemsworth's in there, dreamy Chris Hemsworth, who's Thor.
Who's he?
John Hamm. He played, you know, he's the guy from, the guy who smokes on the TV show. I can't.
John Hamm? You know a lot about pop culture. Here's another email. Do either one of you think that Bill Clinton should have resigned over his affair with Monica Lewinsky?
If I'm speaking like Hillary said, no, absolutely not.
How about that?
Wasn't that a great interview?
She's amazing, honestly.
What was even greater was, did you see where the interview was taking place?
No.
It was in a glass house, you stupid woman. And you were throwing stones.
It's not her glass house.
The proverbial.
It's a glass studio, not a glass house.
But they put her in there on purpose.
For the symbolism?
Right when she started talking, I looked behind her and I went, they put her in a glass house. How convenient.
Oh, my God. Look at you looking for deep symbolism. Who knew that you were even...
I always look in symbolism.
Who knew that being...
My life is based in symbolism.
That being an enlisted monkey, you do symbolism. That's amazing. Honestly.
That's why I became an officer and then actually a general.
General officer. Hold on. Look, honestly, how she can say that stuff with a straight face, it's like, wow, that's impressive. I mean, that's a level of liar that you don't find very often. Okay? Her husband preyed upon a recently graduated high school girl.
Of the United States.
In her first job, who is an intern at the White House. In any way,
he preys on her.
Yeah, in any way, it is wrong as could be. Now, that's just the act, right? How about the perjury of the act?
What?
Well, of course
you should. I should not have sex with that woman. America, listen to me. Look at me. That's the greatest video ever out there of the I you gotta play that again,
and
man. And
she straight faces it and she says no, of course not. They were consenting adults.
Yeah, this day in history. The woman says I did not, but just the way there, that is a pathological liar.
That is a committed pathological liar, all right?
As I teach...
Here you have it. Hold on.
I teach body language and
listen
things
to
like
it.
That for situation awareness, how to avoid...
Listen to it, and then you can analyze it for me. You ready?
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people.
Yeah, dude. He, pathological liar. Like,
no,
dude, that is as good as it gets.
No, I would think being an enlisted guy, you could appreciate this, okay? You would see the beauty of it. He's not lying, okay? He's telling the truth.
No. He knew he was lying. They practiced this. Dude, I'm telling you. They practiced this hours and hours on tape, played it back, showed him. No, Bill, be conscious. When you say this word, watch that left lip rise. Watch your brow. He goes back and does it again.
They
had Hollywood movie stars probably in there coaching him.
I think he's
him.
Such a practice liar. He didn't need that kind of coaching. That's just me.
No, he needed coaching on this. This was going to be
they didn't
up
call
close.
Him. His nickname was Slick Willie.
I know, and it still is. But
I just don't think he needed that kind of coaching to pull that off. They
I think on that
said, hey.
One he did. That one was, because it was a while. He didn't
No,
come
but
right
he
out.
Was telling the truth in his own mind. Remember,
Remember listen to me.
George,
America, listen to me.
Remember George Costanza says, Jerry, remember, it's not a lie if you believe it. And that is, it's, you watch it, but what he's saying is oral sex is not sex but as I define it. And so I did not have sexual relations with that woman. I've only told everybody to tell the truth as we know it.
Yep.
And
oral sex is like a handshake, Bill.
Exactly. It's like exercise. Yeah. It's not sex. Did I exercise that day? Yes. Was she in the room? Yes. In fact, we exercised together. Did we have sex? No. Boom. Drop the mic. Bill Clinton, not lying, telling the truth. But the fact that she can sit there in those interviews and say that stuff is really kind of scary, right? It's like, it's Trump-like. That's when he goes delusional, it's like, it's worthy of him.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway. next email. I love when you guys do this because it is so funny. That video and that audio blows me away every time I hear it. Can you imagine the unmitigated gall of that guy to walk on TV and just lay that big fat lie on everybody? Unbelievable. What a total piece of shit. Yeah, but he's like Nixon did it. Right?
Oh, they all do it, man. They all do it.
Yeah. It's part of the gig. This is titled North Dakota. Hey, Mac, what led you to North Dakota from California? I saw in your bio that you took a job with Special Olympics. Was that the primary reason? Or did you think the tough climate would be good for your family? My son got invited up to play on a hockey team that was going to play in Calgary, one tournament. It was like this AAA hockey team. We were living in San Diego, and we were both working, and we were running around like crazy people. We went up there, and they trained for a week. I'd never been to North Dakota. Grand Forks has about 70,000 people between Grand Forks on the North Dakota side and Minnesota, East Grand Forks on the Minnesota side. And my kids ran around like we were living on base. And the people were absolutely incredible. And you looked around, and the schools were all highly rated. And you don't need two incomes to make it go. You could do it on one and a half. And we were there for a week. And I thought, why are we knocking ourselves out in San Diego when we could come up here and live nice? My wife could work part-time, you know, be home for our kids more. And so that's why. So I went looking for jobs and got a job with Special Olympics North Dakota. And we moved up there.
Who would have known?
Yeah. And that's why. But it was the Marine Corps experience in that you find people, great people all over the country, great communities all over the country. But for us, it was small town America with a university in it, which is the highest. If you look at surveys for quality of life around the country, the highest quality of life you see is college towns in the Midwest, in small town America with college towns, because they have cultural events, they have athletic events, they have law school, and they have a hospital. So good quality of life. So we moved up there, and it was awesome. That's the story. John, a guy named John Fuhrer. And that's how I met my buddy whose daughters play on the U.S. Women's Olympic hockey team, Monique and Jocelyn. Pierre was kind of the manager of the team. And so I got a chance to meet Pierre and go up there. So got a chance to live. That's where Mike grew up, small town Minnesota. Eden Prairie, back when it was a village. So anyway, yeah.
No, it was more like a, was it a village? It was kind of like a, what's the word, township.
Yeah, separated from the Twin Cities out in the, I won't say sticks because it's not the sticks, but yeah.
It was. We were in the frickin' sticks, dude.
Was it mostly farming? Because there's a lake around Eden Prairie, right? What lake is that?
No, that's Lake Minnetonka. Went up. That's actually in the city of the place called Minnetonka.
Up north? Is that north of you guys?
It's north of us, yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good sized lake.
Yeah, we had places like Chanhassen, right. Shakopee, Young America around us.
There, wow, those are all Indian names. I know all those because they're now big hockey schools.
Oh, they're huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
And if you've never seen
Eden Prairie, is like is a huge, like, man, you want your kid to play, go to Eden Prairie.
It's they developed that into a very, very nice upscale suburb in the Twin Cities, Eden Prairie. So yeah, so that's what, when Mike told me Eden Prairie the first time, then he said, hold on, let me explain when I lived there. It wasn't that.
Right. No, it was not like you think it is. Not like today.
What was the best part of growing up in Eden Prairie?
I don't know. Nothing. There was nothing great about it.
There was nothing great about it?
I'm trying to think.
You know, growing up for me, when I wasn't playing sports as a kid, and we played touch football in the street, we played wiffle ball, I was playing like army or riding my bike or doing something, and there was a big field and it had a huge ditch in the middle of it near our home, and people used to dump, like a contractor would dump concrete in it, and so it had, or dirt mounds. And so it had, like, it was a great place to play, and we used to go there and have rock fights. And or dirt clod fights where you'd pull grass up and it had dirt like at the bottom and you'd fire at your friends. I was always there, and my mom was pretty cool. I could get filthy dirty, and my mom didn't care. In fact, she taught me I could sew when I was like in second grade. I could wash my clothes and iron them, and I'd come in and I'd take my jeans off and shirt off in the garage. I'd fire that stuff in the washing machine. Kathleen didn't even care. I was like, whoa, that was cool. But I used to love to get on my bike. You know, you come home from school. I was a Catholic school kid, so I had to wear black slacks and a white shirt and a green sweater. Put those in my bedroom, get my jeans on, get on my gold Stingray with a banana seat. Go out and see the world. What's going on, boys? Find a couple of your friends and go looking for trouble. Yeah. What are we going to do? What kind of bike did you have?
I just had a bike. I mean, I don't even know what it was called.
You know? Banana seat?
That was when I was young. The banana seat, but then what was the hippie bar? What's that called thing? What was that thing called? It attached to the back.
The sissy bar.
Sissy bar. But it was really tall, so I could like lean back, look like it was a low rider.
Yeah, a biker. I don't know why they call it.
I had like ape hangers for my bike at one time too, because we used to like make ours in choppers.
Right.
You ever try to do that?
Right. I got one. This bike got stolen. It was a green bike. It was a 5-speed. It had a sissy bar on it, and it had like small apers.
You had a white banana seat.
Somebody stole it right out of our garage as we were pulling into the garage. Yeah. Dude's like hauling ass, like misses my mom as we pull in, and my mom throws it in reverse, and we start chasing the dude, and he ditched the bike, like, around the corner and trashed my bike a little bit. But, yeah, stole it, was stealing it right out of the garage as my mom pulls in the driveway. Yeah, her cigarette went flying through the air. Like, that's what kind of panic set in. But yeah, Kathleen though, she chased him down, and we thought he got away. And then as we were driving back to the house, we noticed my bike. What he did was he ditched the bike and then started walking down the street like it wasn't him. And we drove past, glaring at him like, "Where's the dude on the bike? Where's the dude on the bike?" So yeah. Yeah, my bike. But my best bike was a gold banana seat, regular one speed, right? With you know, brakes that were in your sprocket, your rear sprocket. That was my best bike. I was like indestructo bike. But
different time.
You know, there was like a half hour of cartoons on television and Gilligan's Island or some other bullshit. But your mom tended to be home watching soap operas, so she wasn't having that. And if you stayed home, you had to deal with your mom because moms, you know, a lot of them stay. My mom stayed at home. Like, I didn't need that in my life. Like, I didn't need – Kathleen was already running the show. Like, I didn't need to, like, hang out with her. So I came home, and either we played – I played touch football my entire life, wiffle ball – right, we made up games. Pop up with a wiffle ball and a tennis racket, so you could catch the pop ups. Yeah, make up games. Being a kid, man, it was a good time. Because when you got on your bike and you were a block away, your mom had no idea what you were doing, man. It was cool. How'd you get to school? Did you have to take the bus or what?
I took the bus sometimes. Sometimes. If it was nice out, we'd ride our bikes.
I never took a bus to school. Catholic school, we had carpool, and then I got out of that carpool as quick as I could. I'd ride my bike. It wouldn't matter if it was like 40 degrees out. I was not getting in the car. My mom would make me if it was raining, but I did not want to be like, I wanted to escape. I thought my mom was smart. My mom always gave me good advice. So I wasn't one of those kids who thought, yeah, screw that. But I just, like, did not want to be, like, underneath my mom, like, all the time. Like, I got to get out of this, man. I got to get out of this. What was the bus like? Were you one of the guys who ran the show on the bus?
No, just quiet.
Really?
No, I mean, because we sat at the back. It was a bunch of us that lived in, so we'd always sit towards the back, and then no one just bothered us. I mean, no one bothered. We didn't have bullies when I was in school.
I think you did. There's always been guys like
Biff. We didn't. We were policed pretty good.
By who?
Us.
Oh, you policed it.
Not me. I mean, there was a group of, a lot of people. Like, we wouldn't just stand for that, man. There was just, wouldn't work. We didn't have that. We didn't have problems with that.
Interesting. Well, let me tell you, when the cool kids are decent human beings, and it's not always that case, that always.
I mean, we were nice to everybody.
Yeah, I was the same way. I was one of the cool guys, and I didn't like you messing with like the guys who you couldn't do anything about it. Come on, Michael Messner, skinny redhead, shorter than everybody. Leave Messner alone, man. Here's one other email for you. Those stingrays were badass. They're still cool. Yeah, you'd put, like, what, playing cards in your spokes to make the engine sound?
Yeah, playing cards in your spokes was, like, everybody had. That was pretty cool.
Here's another email. Can you guys do the audio for what Mike Pompeo and the prince and the king are gonna talk about? Yeah, Pompeo's gonna walk in. He's gonna say hi to everybody, and then he's gonna go, "Really, guys? Like, what the fuck?" And the king is out of it. Like, if you see pictures of him, King Abdul, I mean, he's around the bend. He's gonna say, "What's going on? What happened?"
He said, "I don't know why they're making a big deal."
What happened? And the prince is gonna be sitting there looking at the floor.
I don't get this. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Dude, what did you do? I didn't do anything. All right. Well, look, you guys, before I leave, you guys got to concoct a lie that's going to stand scrutiny, okay? So
yeah.
get somebody to plead guilty, right? You guys, you know, say you're going to
chop somebody else, say that was the guy.
Yeah, and then I can go home.
Dude, did you hear Trump?
My kid's got a softball game this weekend, too.
Dude, Trump, when he was asked about it, you know what he said? You know what he said?
What?
Rogue gunmen.
Yes! Sounds good to me. Rogue. Could be rogue elements. What else is he going to say? If he doesn't say that, he's got choices.
Don't say anything at all.
Well, that's what the SecDef did. He said, look.
We're looking into it.
Yeah.
This is another country. Why are we concerned?
Until I get the facts, I can't have a position. I'll wait. I know this is Washington, and it tends not to be the way it works, but I'll wait till Secretary Pompeo returns from his trip, and then
we'll sit down. He'll tell me and we'll make a determination. Right. Until then, we're spitballing.
But if you're a political leader, you can't do that. Can the president do that?
Sure. Why?
He's got to come down on the side of his ally, right? Doesn't he have to come down on Saudi Arabia?
You know, then just have fun with it. Elves.
Elves?
Elves.
Taliban.
Taliban elves.
Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda elves.
Yeah. Could be Al-Qaeda.
It's a special program within the Al-Qaeda. They're recruiting elves.
Antifa.
Yep. Antifa elves.
Antifa. Yeah, they left Portland. They went to Istanbul.
Gnomes. Antifa gnomes.
Right. Right. Because look, okay, so even if they murder this guy, we're going to put a $110 billion arms sale on hold?
But why?
No, that ain't happening. Come on.
Yeah, I know. But
get
why?
Real. Yeah, oh, yeah, because a journalist went missing, and Turkey's.
Oh, a journalist?
Yeah. Turkey's trying to throw Saudi Arabia under the bus because they hate each other.
My point is, it's a journalist, boys and girls.
We don't care about
that. They go missing all the time.
Well,
I feel bad. I do. Look, I feel bad. There's my feel bad look. Just happened. Want to see it again? There it was again. But, I mean, there's nothing more we can do. And then, hey, conservatives and liberals alike, you guys willing to pay $6, $6 for a gallon of gas?
Whoa. If you are, what are you talking
then
about?
Let's go.
No, look, let's just stop. Here's my deal. Look, stop with the Pollyanna shit, okay? Turkey has more journalists missing and imprisoned than any nation on the planet.
I know, but they're so innocent.
Right.
They're...
The head of Interpol is still missing in China, okay? Remember China, the place where they have re-education camps for Muslims, that place? So... Like, I know we all watch Netflix, and we watch Pollyanna, and we know about Never Never Land. This is the real world where countries get after each other in a real way. We regret it, but what are we going to do? Change our alliances based on this kind of behavior?
Yeah,
if so. So, anyway, yeah. All right, what else going on today in Granbury? Another rainy day in Granbury.
Yeah, another rainy day. How would you like to be introduced? Chief Hornhouser or Gunner? Gunner.
Whoa. Who said that?
Someone does it.
Let's... The word chief is not in the is not in the vocabulary, okay? Don't touch that rail, okay? Just a little bit of advice. If you want to see him go into low-level orbit, start dropping Chief a few times. God, Chief, that was funny. That was really awesome. What did you call me? So, anyway. All right.
What? This is... She sent me a... Oh, my goodness. There are comments on a webpage dedicated to discussing the correct titles for a Marine gunner.
Oh.
Comments on the site. I've never even heard this. I'm going to have to go there.
Don't,
who is this guy?
Don't.
This ain't hell.us. What? Have you seen this?
No, of course not. I've never gone to a .us website.
Hal Moore is on here.
Why do I know Hal Moore's name?
once in.
Is it a blog?
For the guy who wrote the book. You know, the first Eric Cat guy.
This ain't hell, but you can see it from here.
Stolen
Valor, Members Gallery.
Yeah. Earned.
What? Who are the members? Recipes, Military Records.
This is one of those crazy coup things.
The FNG FAQ.
Terry Walker.
Who?
Uh-oh. Tucker Walker's on here.
Who's Tucker Walker?
Gunnar Walker from the 2nd Marine Division. Terry.
It doesn't say who runs it.
So, I don't know, but this is how it started off. Someone said over at American Thinker, there is this guy. He is Terry L. Walker, CW05, Marine Gunner. That sounds kind of weird to me. 35 years service as a Marine Gunner? What is it anyway? A machine gunner? So is a CW5 a Chief Warrant Officer 5? I can't see CW5 in the Army as a gunner. So I doubt that's actually a job. Also, how long do you have to be forced to retire? Anyway, to the Marines in here, does that look right? Some guy comes back and says the Chief Warrant Officer serving as Infantry Weapons Officer also carries the title Marine Gunner, which does not replace his rank. However, a Marine Gunner replaces the Chief Warrant Officer insignia on the left collar with a bursting bomb insignia. Someone says, yeah, this guy's legit, and the other guy doesn't know what he's talking about. You dress them as gunners. USMC gunners are real badasses, says this one guy.
They're
like infantry silverbacks.
This is
silverbacks? Like male gorillas were like the dominant alpha gorilla.
Is that what that was? I didn't even know what it was. This is an Army website.
So a CW5 gunner, those dudes are capital silverbacks. If you see one in its natural habitat, don't make eye contact or it will be a sign of aggression and proceed to face rape you.
Ugh. Here we go. These are all gunners posting now.
No, these aren't gunners. These are freaking Jason.
Come on. Don't play that game with me. They're all perpetuating the myth.
The myth is, exactly. How rare is it to see a CW5 Marine gunner? You have a better chance.
The myth?
I mean, come on. How rare is it to run into one of those guys?
I don't know. I mean, you run into them all the time. They're everywhere.
CW5, Marine Gunner.
Every time you turn around, it's like, who
Chief
are you?
Chief Warrant Officer 5.
Hey, Max, this is Gunner. This is Gunner so and so. Oh, hey, Gunner, what's up?
Yeah, Gunner. But a CW5, Mac, come on.
Yeah. Like, constantly. They're everywhere. Huh. Well, it depends.
Yeah,
you got to go. You
got
to go to the right places.
At one time.
You got to go to the right places. You got to go to a Starbucks on base or something, so you can make sure you cross paths with them.
So just so Mac, there's only four on active duty at one given time, and there are two on the West Coast, one on the East Coast, or two on the East Coast. So
what are you trying to say?
You have a better chance. There's more general officers in Camp Pendleton at Del Mar than there are Marine gunners.
That is true. That is true. Why is that?
I don't know.
Right.
Because when you have more of something,
it's easier to attain.
Yeah, much easier.
Report, Saudis plan to admit Khashoggi was accidentally killed during interrogation.
Yeah, I saw that. An interrogation went wrong. The human body can only ingest 15 gallons of water at one time, upside down. Who knew?
It was an accident. It was an accident. I'm sorry. We're sorry. All right. And so what should be the punishment for their accident? Good question.
What should be the punishment?
Yeah, what should the United States do?
Should say, you guys stupid. You guys got caught.
You're stupid. Yeah. So he's not even an American citizen. He's just a writer for the Washington Post.
A freaking nickname. Who's this Mustang Crippy? It's a nickname they use. Gunner. Nickname?
Yes, it is a nickname. Gunner. they're very, in case you haven't noticed, they're very finicky about their own mythology. They're the custodians of their mythology. And if you cross paths with them, they do not take it well. They do not take it well.
See, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He says, before gunners, Marine chief warrant officers, we used to call gunnies gunners. No, we used to call them top. Remember we used to call them tops? Master sergeants were called tops, and they didn't like that. Like, hey, top.
Yeah, gunnies were never called gunners. No, warrant officers,
they're called gunnies.
Warrant officers were called gunners, and then we created the rank gunner. And
we didn't create it. You brought it back.
We brought it back. All right, and so then there was a little bit of a pissing contest between those two groups because you would say, call a warrant officer, hey, gunner. And then if there was a gunner standing there,
the
aviation,
right, yeah, like Rudy and Metro, because, you know, they're shortcut guys. They call their avionics guys or their ordnance guys gunner. Yep. I went down there for that, the Red Devils guys, the 214 guys.
Right.
I went down there one time for a brief. We were going to brief those guys because they were going to drop bombs for us and stuff. And I was walking by and I saw the sign on the door. You know how they got their signs on the doors, you know, overhanging their office? Because they're always perpetually wanting self-gratification of how good, important they are.
Yeah.
You know, all of
them,
right?
Right.
Their call sign and, like, this number. And I see it up there. It says, the gunner. And it's parentheses. The gunner. So I grab it, and I reach up. I unhook it from its little hanging swivels. And I grab the sign. I walk in. Hey, where's this guy? And they're like,
Why? Why would you go out of your way looking for trouble like that?
Well, it wasn't trouble because I knew the guy.
Oh, you did know him?
Yeah, I knew him. I knew him from IOC guys. Or the basic course stuff.
Did you
so
like,
I walked in there and he saw me. He's like,
hold on, did you
hey,
like
man,
it?
What's going on? And I held the sign up and I go, what the fuck is this? We had to talk about this. He's like, oh, you know, dude, I can't. They call me that here when I first got here. Oh, so, you know, you just accept it, right? You don't say, no. I'm not a gunner. See, I got a friend that's a gunner, and we talked to, me and him had this conversation in the infantry, you know, the officer's basic course, the Wolbeck stuff, and he said to me, man, I'd never let anybody call me that because that's not right.
Wolbeck.
But now I see they made you a sign. Why don't you just, I'll just take this then. Thank you. Thank you for the gift.
they're touchy about it, I'm telling you. All right, listen to this. All right. This is Chief Warrant Officer Christian Wade, 2nd Marine Division Gunner.
Yeah, I see that. You just sent it.
All right. Hold on. Let me see.
What it means to wear the bursting bomb.
All right. Look, can you hear this?
Yeah, go. We got to turn it up.
All right, this is 2nd Marine Division combat camera that Gunner Wade did a lot of stuff with. So here you have it.
Self-awareness can be a tricky thing. I train as hard as I need to get to the level of skill that I want. I record myself, then send those videos to some key people I've selected, and I say, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing well? How can I get more efficient? If one is truly humble and willing to improve, is one ever a master? Because I can tell you this, I'm not a master, but I want to be.
That's
and
good.
I do what it takes to get better and better.
Wait, say that again?
He said it right.
All right, let me get to the end of it. It's only got a few more seconds. Hold on.
I think mastery is more of a journey. It's more of a state of mind than it is an actual thing. Being the gunner in the 2nd Marine Division, what it means to me is every day I get up in the morning just trying to be good enough to hold that title. What drives me in everything I can do is the fact that I don't want to be unworthy of standing in front of a platoon of Marines.
Whoa. Pretty impressive.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, that's it. He's legit, man. Chris Wade. We need to get him back on the program.
Yeah, he's somewhere in Montana now. That's where he's living. So, yeah, I'll try and track him down.
They have phones up there.
Chris Wade? I doubt it.
Wade. Let me tell you.
Carrier messenger pigeon or something to get some.
To him. I'll tell you what. If you look at if you do a search for Gunnar Wade, he did some really awesome stuff that have a ton of views on YouTube with the combat camera guys at 2nd Marine Division, and
he did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll tell you what. If I was I was talking to Dave Furness about this, who's a CG of the 2nd Marine Division. I said, you know what? If I was you, I'd put some of my stuff out on YouTube, like Wade did. Get those guys from Combat Camera and, you know, do a 5-minute video on leadership or whatever your topic of the week and bomb it out to the division, man.
But he won't. Because they don't have that same, the personality's different.
Yeah, but Furness, if you set it up and all he had to do was walk in and say.
No, I know, but you got to show it to him.
Right, you could hear him saying, hey, Double Dogs, this is Gerald Furness. Let me just tell you, I got a bone to pick with everybody. And
but generals, even Dave is no stranger to it. All generals have ADD.
Well, no doubt. They have a lot of stuff in front of them.
You know, that was my job. My job when it came to weapons and infantry training and stuff was to keep my guy focused, but I needed. You know, so that's why I said I came to him with all this stuff at once to make him, here's a decision, I need a decision point, here's your 3 decision points, this is the one I prefer, here's the policy paper that goes with this one, I just need your signature, so we agree. He'd sit there and laugh at me and go, why do you do this? Well, because I'm trying to be a staff officer, and you told me to be a better staff officer. This is Gunner, just tell me which one I need to pick, that one. All right, I sign right here? Yeah. What am I saying? It goes into, you know, it starts tomorrow morning. Do the commanders know? I'm going to call them right now. They're going to be mad. Okay, fine. That was it. You keep guys focused. Don't go, hey, blah, 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 and then let them have it, and then let them soak on it for a week. It's gone. Act now. Here it is. Here's the 3 decision points that I need you. Here's the preferred one. Here is all the paperwork that goes with your decision. We just need to sign it and get it out. Boom, done. All one package. Don't go in and go, hey, and float. I hate when people say, let's float this by the boss. Float it. Float what? Sorry. He's going to forget in 5 minutes.
Right.
Float it.
No.
People just say that all the time. Let's float one by the boss. How about, that's like taking you're going to take a crap by him? That's all you're going to do is float one.
Yeah. No, if we do anything, it's a choreographed ambush, and the only thing we're looking
bam,
for
bam, 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 bam,
is his nodding his head and then signing it, and then we send him away to go do whatever else he has to do.
Right? We even would have, like, you know, you and I, we used to do this all the time, too, is we'd have, like, supporting fire that we wouldn't get reveal, like machine guns and or rockets or something. So when he's like, well, you know, I'm not so sure about statistics on this, wham! Statistics, you say?
Yeah.
Wow. Would you like it in PowerPoint or would you like it in Excel? Wow, wow. And they look at you like, you know, they know that at that point they know they're being ambushed. And then they go, all right, what do you want me to make a decision?
Was the cool, and this is honestly, you know, Mike and I served together 2010, 2011, and we had all had multiple combat tours. And we're studious guys, and we're serious guys about what we did. We had somebody bleed to death, and we thought it was bullshit. And so he came to me, and he said, and he was livid. And
me, Gunner.
No. Well, Mike was there, but it was Colonel Furness at the time. He was rip shit about it. And he said, what happened? I said, well, let me just show you. I record the times of all these medevacs. When we get the call, when it gets tasked to a squadron, when they go wheels up, when they're wheels down in the LZ, when they're wheels up in the LZ, when they're wheels down. I record every one of those, and I've been doing it for months. All right? this is what we've done, and this is what happened. And so the way these things would work, and Mike had his own very specialized stuff that he would do relative, whether it be counter ID stuff or whatever, is that, and the reason we talk about it and the way we talk about it is, he comes to you and asks you a question, and you give him everything that he would have done if he right. would have been sitting in your chair. And he just, like, probably more sometimes. And he just looks and goes, because this is awesome. And he'd do the same thing with Mike. Why is this? And Mike would just lay it out. And it's like, it's what you dream about with subordinates that are have their heads in the games, are intellectually engaged, are pretty smart guys, and they study, and they love Marines, and they don't want to see anybody get killed for any stupid reason. And it, we had so many of those guys. It was awesome. And so, I mean, he loved it. I mean, he absolutely loved it because he had this group of guys that whatever the issue was, with a few exceptions, they would walk in and they would give you a dump and say, all right, here's what's going on. Made his job easy so he could focus on certain things. So, interesting. Interesting. And cool, too. Cool for us. All right, what's going on the rest of the day? You got to get your intro down so they don't screw it up.
Yeah, that's all done. I'm looking through, like, what I got to talk about.
Come on, you got to be funny, though. If it's not funny.
No, you know, I'm going to start out, like, I'm just going to be monotone. I'm serious. I'm just going to be really monotone. Really, really monotone.
You got to come up with something funny, though, to do, to open with. Because, I mean, if it's not, again, the enjoyment of it is laughing and having a good time.
Yeah. So. But you know what? I'm going to talk to old Fisk because I'm reading his, like, he graduated high school in 1938. Whoa. Commissioned as second lieutenant in 1944. His graduation from 6 months to flight. Oh, he's a flight engineer. World War II, flight engineer on B-29 Super Fortress.
Whoa.
Firebombing over Japan. On March 27, 1945, his plane was shot down. 8 crew members were killed. Lieutenant Hanley and the plane's co-pilot, Al Andrews, were the only survivors.
So he wasn't in jail. He wasn't a POW for very long. Lucky for him.
No. Lieutenant Hanley perished to the ground where angry farmers, hell yeah, attacked and beat him before he was captured and held in prison. Or blindfold, handcuffed, forbidden to bathe, or to see the sun. He was locked in a 9 by 5 foot cell and housed up to 8 people. Survived months. He's 99 years old.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Those guys that are, let me tell you, anybody who survives the whole POW thing, first of all, to survive it is a miracle. And then come home and live your life and do it well and all that. So good on them. Good on them. Good on the community for honoring them, too. So,
anyway. Yeah.
All right, man. Good luck to the Red Sox tonight.
Yeah. Good luck, Red Sox. Go Sox. All right. I'll talk to you later.
There you have it. The one and only Michael Musselman. That'll do it. A Tuesday edition. Jack Riley's going to join us tomorrow for the rest of the story, so don't miss that. If you've never heard it, we talked about it a little bit. Jack Riley, squad leader, 2nd Platoon, 2nd Squad, India Company 39, and he joined us. But there's a series of questions that people emailed for him. And I've got the first one, like, why no fire support for 6 hours? What the hell happened? Why didn't they shoot? Were you guys too busy being overrun? Like, what happened? So anyhow, you'll get to hear that tomorrow. So it's kind of like I describe it like the interview after the interview, kind of like Oprah after the show. So it was like Oprah sitting on a couch talking about the show because nobody could get enough of Oprah. Hold on, let me read you. Oprah after the show. here's Oprah talking about it. Yeah, So this is that's what you're going to hear tomorrow. Hold on, let me put Steve Winwood in timeout. Oprah Winfrey. Oh. Oh, what a surprise. A commercial for a Toyota vehicle. Fun. This is Oprah.
Just fun. I thought it was so much fun, it made me want to have even more girlfriends. Yes. Yeah. I got a lot. Okay, I got it. Anyway, one of the things I was going to say at the end of the show, we ran out of time, is that... husbands come and go, but girlfriends last forever.
What in the hell?
They really do. Especially if you have a good one. You know, I used to do these shows years ago where people...
Okay, so that was her, like, doing Oprah after the show, where she would sit with the audience and would just kind of kick it. Right. So I'll read to you. Oprah After the Show is a program on the Oxygen Cable Network from 2003 to 2006 and was an extra half hour that allowed the audience to ask questions of the guests for the day's earlier episode of the Oprah Winfrey Show, which aired in syndication and for Oprah Winfrey to introduce extended segments. So there you have it. So, yeah, it was like Oprah kicking it. So we're going to do that with... tomorrow we'll do that with Jack Riley. So if you have a question about the interview and you haven't sent it to me, by all means do it. If you have a question about Vietnam, about it. So my questions, you know, really, I might have a half dozen questions right now. One is mine personally, and that is explain why you didn't get any fire support for 6 hours. So if you listen to the interview and the fight that took place on Hill 70 during the fight for the Battle of Gettlin's Corner, which was three separate fights, you'll hear that they didn't get any support. There was no supporting arms. It was a small arms fight between the NVA and the Marines. There was heavy machine guns on the NVA side. There was M60 machine guns and 60mm mortars until the ammunition ran out. And that was it. That was it. So I'm curious. Jack's path, and somebody sent me an email about it. I'd be curious to know Jack's path to getting everybody together. It wasn't that difficult in post-Vietnam America. So... what was the first reunion they had, and what was that like? Somebody else sent me an email. Mac, I'm curious about alcohol and drugs. Did they take a heavy toll on Jack's group? So reunions, alcohol, Jack's thoughts on PTSD was another, I'm trying to recall off the top of my head, different things that people have told me. And then one other one was, I've listened to your post-traumatic winning stuff. I'd be curious to know what Jack has to say about that. And so that'll form the basis of the hour that we'll have with him. But, yeah, the supporting arms, to me, is like, because, look, a lot of times it's confusing. And, for instance, when they're calling for fires on their own position, right, and you say you're not going to shoot. Look, we've got the data to shoot Hill 70, okay? Which direction did the attack come from? It came from the north. Okay, offset it 200 meters and shoot it. And we're going to walk it towards their position. Stand by. Because let me tell you, when you start dropping artillery on people, it gets their attention. It has an effect on their willingness to continue the fight. So, all right. Now, back to Steve Winwood. So So we'll do that tomorrow. My thanks to Tim Lynch for hopping on today and doing current events. Have a great day. Do something good for somebody. If you're a member of the Marine Corps League, bring that thing into the 21st century, bro. Got to change the uniform. Got to get on social media. Got to get more Marines involved. It's a great organization. Okay, but if it stays a post-World War II, Korea War, Vietnam era, it's going to die. And it needs new blood. And if the Red Hats have to go, if the Piss Cutters have to go, except for the firing detail, the Red Blazers need to go, then let them go. What the organization does is way more important than those things. Those things can be ceremonial things worn by certain members of the organization. Everybody else can be pretty normal. All right. Have a great day. On a Tuesday, All Marine Radio. Over and out. No, hold on. Ow. I got counsel for not saying it like that.